Welcome to Page Turn, the Largo Public Library podcast. I'm your host, Hannah. Page Turn is a monthly podcast bringing you information about great books, library news, and fun library tidbits from your favorite programs, as well as a Spanish language book review from Victor. But as always, we start with Reader's Advisory. To dare, to strive, to conquer. For generations, privileged young men have attended St. Oswald's Grammar School for Boys, groomed for success by the likes of Roy Straitley, the eccentric classics teacher who has been a fixture there for more than 30 years. But this year, the wind of unwelcome change is blowing. Suits, paperwork, and information technology are beginning to overshadow St. Oswald's tradition, and Straitley is finally, and reluctantly, contemplating retirement. He is joined this term by 5 new faculty members, including one who, unbeknownst to Straitley and everyone else, holds intimate and dangerous knowledge of St. Oswald's ways and secrets. Harboring dark ties to the school's past, this young teacher has arrived with one terrible goal: to destroy St. Oswald's. As the new term gets underway, a number of incidents befall students and faculty alike, beginning as small annoyances, a lost pen, a misplaced coffee mug. They are initially overlooked, but as the incidents escalate in both number and consequence, it soon becomes apparent that a darker undercurrent is stirring within the school. With St. Oswald's unraveling, only Straitley stands in the way of its ruin. The veteran teacher faces a formidable opponent, however, a master player with a bitter grudge and a strategy that has been meticulously planned to the final move, a secret game with very real, very deadly consequences. Today's Reader's Advisory is Gentlemen and Players by Joanne Harris. Gentlemen and Players is a psychological fiction title that is set at a private boys' school in England. The book is suspenseful and intricately plotted. The twist, which I am not going to spoil, is well done and surprising. Readers may also enjoy The Drama Teacher by Karen Zaliskas. Gracie Mueller is a proud mother of 2 and a devoted wife, living with her husband Randy in upstate New York, her life complicated by the usual stressors and tedium: young children, marriage, money. And she's settled down comfortably enough. But Gracie, underneath all that's marked her life as average, has a lot to hide about where she's from, who she is, and who she's been. And when Randy's failing career as a real estate agent makes finances tight, their home goes into foreclosure, and Gracie feels she has no choice but to return to the creatively illegal and high-stakes lifestyle of her past in order to keep all that she's worked so hard to have. Gracie learned from her manipulatively charming father how to steal identities in order to survive, and she eases back into her routine of lying and cheating with a wicked skill set and gritty resolve. Things begin to slip out of her control, though, when her web of deceit lands her a job as a private school drama teacher, a role that demands emotional honesty. And soon, more questions about the truth of her past are raised, including all the ones she never meant to, or even knew, to ask. Or, For Your Own Good by Samantha Downing. Teddy Crutcher has won Teacher of the Year at the esteemed Belmont Academy, home to the best and brightest. He says his wife couldn't be more proud, though no one has seen her in a while. Teddy really can't be bothered with the death of a student parent that's looking more and more like murder, or the student digging a little too deep into Teddy's personal life. His main focus is on pushing these kids to their full academic potential. All he wants is for his colleagues and the endlessly meddlesome parents to stay out of his way. Or, The Tenth Girl by Sarah Faring. At the very southern tip of South America looms an isolated finishing school. Legend has it that the land will curse those who settle there. But for Mavi, a bold Buenos Aires native fleeing the military regime that took her mother, it offers an escape to a new life as a young teacher to Argentina's elite girls. Mavi tries to embrace the strangeness of the imposing house, despite warnings not to roam at night, threats from an enigmatic young man, and rumors of mysterious others. But one of Mavi's 10 students is missing, and when students and teachers alike begin to behave as if possessed, the forces haunting this unholy cliff will no longer be ignored. One of those spirits holds a secret that could unravel Mavi's existence. In order to survive, she must solve a cosmic mystery, and then fight for her life. It's really too bad that sometimes excellence can come at such a high cost. Bonus segment. My personal favorite Goodreads list, Gentlemen and Players is on, is chess-themed fiction. Happy reading, everyone. This month's library tidbit is about keeping track of your reading and book journaling. For those of us that read, keeping track of books we've read is an important step. There are multiple reasons why someone would keep track of their reading. From simply remembering which books they've read, to knowing where in a series they've left off, to noting authors they like or don't like. But how to keep track of this information? How to know how much information to keep track of? Where to even start? Well, there are no good answers to these questions because it's very subjective. There are online resources you can use to keep track of your readings, things like Goodreads and StoryGraph, or even an Excel spreadsheet for those of you who like to program your own. You can also use good old pen and paper. The upside to using an online resource is that you can search quickly to figure out where in a series you are, what the next book is, and also if you have or have not read a title. The downside to online resources is that often they cannot be personalized. Someone who keeps track of their reading using a journal is more easily able to add their own thoughts and feelings, even draw images or create collages that connect thoughts, opinions, and feelings about a book. It all depends on the reader. The library can also keep track of your library reading history, but only if you ask us. For privacy reasons, the library does not automatically keep track of items that you have had checked out. However, a lot of readers find the convenience of being able to see which library items they've checked out to be more important for them than the privacy of not having records available to subpoena or warrant. If you are interested in keeping track of your library item history, then talk to a staff member and they can turn that on for you. It will not be able to know which items you have already returned to the library, but it will keep track of items from that day until you turn it off. I, personally, need to keep track of what titles I've read. Like most readers, I read a lot, and I read a lot of series. Nothing is worse than finding out a new book in a series is coming out, but you're not sure where you left off in it. Reading through book summaries, trying to figure out where you stopped, trying to remember if you stopped reading this series for a reason, or even reading the series starting over from book one, all take more time and energy than having a track record of what you've already read. Over the years, the library has seen plenty of different ways readers keep track of their reading. Our least favorite, and one we will ask that you do not do, is when readers physically mark books with their own private secret code, so that if they pick it up again, they know if they have or have not read it. We do not like when patrons put marks in our books, but also, having a personal mark lets us know just how many books a reader has marked up, and we will grab them as evidence when asking you to please stop marking in our books. We have also seen readers come in with notebooks, separated by author, with series written down in order, and check marks next to the titles already read. This is a great resource for readers who like to read specific authors, especially if those authors have several different series to keep track of. The only downside is when those little notebooks get left behind at the library. I personally use a pen and paper journal to keep track of my thoughts about titles. I don't write down a lot of information about each title, but enough that if I need to go back and see what my initial thoughts on a title were, I can do that. I can also keep track of my opinions on a series as I read through the books to see if I want to pick up the next one or not. For instance, I might really like book one, but have really hated it by book three. The most intriguing, to me, way that I have seen people journal about books is in a bullet or art style journal, where they collect headshots of people they would like to see play characters in any potential TV show or movie, or draw abstract artwork that evokes the same feelings that they themselves got from reading the title. Bullet or art style journals also free a reader from writing in linear lines or from making all the information about a book roughly the same size. Playing with the size of information can allow a reader to journal about a book and visually show what opinions or thoughts are more important to them. In addition to journaling for personal use, some people like to review to inform other people about books. These reviews can be informal and opinion-based to formal, professional reviews with style guidelines. I have found it interesting over the years to learn how to give different types of professional reviews. I find that learning that side of the book world has helped me understand narratives and genres better. No matter the reason or how you book journal, we hope you are enjoying your reading experiences. If you find during your journal that you've hit a clump of titles that you just do not like, happens to everyone, talk to a library staff member about getting professionally bookmatched. And now it's time for Book Traveler with Victor.
Bienvenidos a una nueva edición de Viajero de Libros. Mi nombre es Victor y soy bibliotecario aquí en la Biblioteca Pública de Largo. Hoy les voy a hablar sobre un libro que tenemos en la colección en español que se titula No Somos de Aquí, por Jenny Torres Sánchez. Sinopsis. La travesía, llena de peligros, resiliencia, dolor y esperanza de tres adolescentes guatemaltecos que cruzan la frontera entre México y Estados Unidos. Pulga lleva sus sueños. Chica carga el dolor de perder a su madre. Pequeña tiene su orgullo. Estos tres adolescentes se tienen uno al otro y no se hacen ilusiones sobre la ciudad donde crecieron. A pesar del amor de su familia, las amenazas los acechan en cada esquina. Y cuando son demasiado, como para ignorarlos, el trío sabe que no tiene más opción que huir de su país, de su familia y de su querido hogar. En su travesía desde Guatemala hacia Estados Unidos, a través de México, siguen la ruta de la bestia, el peligroso tren de carga que los conducirá a una vida mejor, si tienen suficiente suerte como para sobrevivir el viaje. Sin nada más que una mochila a su espalda y la desesperación que hace palpitar sus corazones, Pulga, Chico y Pequeña saben que no hay vuelta atrás, sin importar los peligros desconocidos que les esperan. En este impresionante relato de tres vidas injustamente destrozadas, basado en hechos reales, Jenny Torres Sánchez resalta el sacrificio de los inmigrantes en la frontera del sur a través de una narración vivida y conmovedora. Mi opinión. Esta desgarradora historia está inspirada por eventos actuales, como lo es los miles de mujeres, hombres y niños de América Central que buscan refugio en Estados Unidos. Cuando la novela comienza, los adolescentes Paula, Chico y Pequeña viven en una ciudad muy violenta de Guatemala. Pulga, con 15 años de edad, sueña con convertirse en músico como su papá y ya está planeando su escape. Chico, un niño tímido y pasando por un momento difícil, viene a vivir con la familia de Pulga luego del asesinato de su madre, que fue balaceada cuando él tenía 11 años de edad. Pequeña es una chica de 17 años que fue embarazada por Rey, miembro de una ganga. Luego de que Pulga y Chico vieron el asesinato de un vendedor de zapatos local por la ganga de Rey, ellos saben que reportar el asesinato significa su muerte inminente. Pero lo que no saben es que al quedarse callados, significa que estaban destinados a unirse a la ganga. Luego de que Pequeña da a luz a su hijo, Rey le dice que ella se convertirá en su esposa, algo que ella jura nunca pasará. Pulga, Chico y Pequeña entonces deciden irse de Guatemala, dejando a su familia atrás y al recién nacido de Pequeña. Su viaje es más aterrador de lo que se hubiesen imaginado. Pasan días sin comer, escondiéndose de secuestradores, caminando por millas, a veces a través del desierto, hasta encontrarse con trenes que van hacia Estados Unidos. donde se unen con hombres, mujeres y niños aferrándose a su vida. Es un libro que te da a pensar sobre los horrores que pasan tantas familias tratando de alcanzar la seguridad y escapar a la violencia. Queda muy recomendado. Es todo por hoy. Hasta la próxima edición de Viajero de Libros. Hasta luego.
Thanks, Victor, for another great book review. Remember, if you happen to not know Spanish, check out our English language translation in the show notes. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Here are some upcoming library events to keep track of. April 4th, Book Page Butterflies at 6 p.m. in the Adult Program Room. Registration is required. April 6th, Adult Sign Language Intermediate at 7 p.m. in Jenkins Room A. April 7th, Getting to Know Your MacBook at 3 p.m. in the Adult Program Room. Registration is required. April 12th, English Conversation Club at 6 p.m. in the English Language Learning Classroom. April 14th, Butterfly Garden Grand Opening at 6:30 p.m. in the Jenkins Wing. April 18th, Faux Fused Glass Pendant at 6 p.m. in Jenkins Room B. Registration is required. April 20th, Exploring Community Resources at 2 p.m. in the Adult Program Room. Registration is required. April 26th, Find Your Next Read, Learn Library Databases at 3 p.m. in Jenkins Room C. Registration is required. April 27th, Intro to Zelle, Venmo, and Apple Pay at 2 p.m. in the Adult Program Room. Have a great month, everyone. We hope to talk to you again soon. St. Oswald's. Okay, I don't like the name of the school. I have to say it over and over again.